tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, Doctor Who fans! Welcome back to... Oh, wait, is this the didgeridoo version? This is a didgeridoo version of the Doctor Who theme song with a cellist.
I was like, that's not a didgeridoo.
Oh my god.
It's not bad. folks, it's good that we have three wooden instruments on the screen there as we talk about this episode, In the Forest of the Night, Doctor Who Season 8, Episode 10. I'm Matt Lieberman, as always, and welcome back to the panel, Miss Yel Teagle.
Hi, everybody.
And Mr. Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys, thanks for joining us.
Yes, gang, this episode, maybe a quieter installment, especially after the knockout, in my opinion, that was the previous week's episode, Flatline, which... May be for me the best of the season.
Oh, by far.
Excellent installment. This week's maybe not as on point. You know, the writer of the episode, he's a first-time writer on the series. He's actually a children's book writer, which may explain the kind of more child-focused, fairy tale-centric almost kind of narrative. But at the same time, the writer of Vincent and the Doctor was also a children's author. So, you know, I read a couple of great think pieces on the season and on this episode in particular, and a lot of them were like, you know, this could have gone either way, this could have been something brilliant, but instead, I feel like it's largely just a bag of interesting ideas that were just kind of like cooked too long. Like, they were left on the stove for too long, nothing really sunk up, it didn't really come together in any kind of interesting way.
I would say the opposite. I mean, I think it was undercooked. Because, like, it's like, basically, you have all these ideas that are, like, almost there. They just didn't let them rise. They had to run out into the desert with no yeast. And
okay. So we're doing a matzo thing?
Yeah. All right. So I think that I don't have a cooking analogy. But I feel like this episode had a lot of things that reminded me of other things. And so I feel like the writer... was like, I want to do this, you know, cute children's story, but I also want to, like, make it feel like Doctor Who. And so I've watched since 2005 and, like, ooh, that's a really cool concept. Ooh, that's a really cool concept. I like all of that. I'm going to put it all together.
This kind of felt like the Doctor Who version of The Happening.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like in concept, the episode is more interesting than it actually turned out to be. Mm-hmm. And we'll break it all down for you. But first, for those of you who are watching live, hello. Welcome back to the show. As always, we encourage live tweets during our show. We tape every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can watch us live on AfterBuzzTV.com and tweet us. My Twitter handle is at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman.
My Twitter handle is at Yel Teagle. That's YaelTyGiel.
And I'm that Zach Wilson, THatZachWilson.
Yeah, and before we jump back in, I just want to really quickly give a shout-out to at Marielle M. She is one of the winners of a Twitter contest that AfterBuzz TV held recently. She's a huge Doctor Who super fan and a fan of our network, and I just wanted to say thank you for supporting AfterBuzz TV and following us on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV.
And congratulations.
Yes,
Marielle
congratulations.
M. You rock.
You rock. All right, so this episode, I love the idea of a spontaneous forest. That's something that's very cool. There are a lot of potential reasons for it. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as we mention time, I'm like, oh my god, someone is meddling with time. The time meddler has returned, and he's gone back in time and planted a spontaneous forest that somehow we can't remember existing because of paradoxes. Like, that could have been super cool.
That would have been a really interesting, like, twist.
Yeah.
That would, like, totally fit in Doctor Who. And, like, I like the idea of the Earth as a almost semi-conscious being.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting science fiction concept.
But do you like that the Earth is a collection of conscious fireflies?
No.
They reminded me of the Vashta Narada.
A little bit.
They really
like
do.
Happy Vashta Narada.
Yeah.
They're the reversal. They're like the other side of the coin.
Right. But like they when they were explaining that they were there and they're always there. They've been there from before we were.
They are the here. They were here before and they will be here after.
And I was like, that's interesting, and that's very Vashta Narada-y. Mm-hmm. And like I wanted that to be more. Not just more, like, explained more, but I wanted that to be more of a...
If it was going to be a thing, it needed to be way bigger of a thing.
That's what I want.
And not just, like, this mini... Like, it was only in there for... They were only in there for maybe 5 minutes of the episode
mm-hmm.
for this force that's been there forever. But to it sort of plays to your point, like, little pieces of different other things in Doctor Who, because that felt like... The silence,
mm-hmm.
a little bit. Like, it took, like, a chunk of the silence. Like, we've been here since before you were there. Like,
and you
we've
don't
been
remember.
On, like, this is our planet, and you don't remember it. It's just like, but it's missing what made the silence so great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Was that they have been influencing our lives this whole time. There's a level of menace to them.
Yeah.
Versus these things, which are largely benign.
They're protecting the planet?
Yeah, they're just protecting the planet. They just sprout trees whenever something's about to kill the planet, and then the trees protect us, and the trees go away. And then we forget because humans forget everything.
But they're protecting just the planet. They don't care if we live or die.
No.
They just want the planet to be okay.
Which is like, okay, trees, if you can just spontaneously appear and fill the Earth with oxygen,
mm-hmm.
why don't you repair the ozone layer? Why don't you do anything? Like, I feel like I'm just sort of saying these trees seem to be cherry picking their battles here when they really could be doing a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
And like a solar flare also, like, you can fill the air with all the oxygen you want. Like, the biggest scientific like scary things about a solar flare, like mm-hmm. if you've read anything by like Arthur C. Clarke has done this in a few novels, it's the magnetism when it hits the Earth is it fries. Like, it doesn't really kill people, it just fries everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fries all electronics. Like, it's basically letting an EMP across the entire world.
There wouldn't be any TARDIS selfies in the wake of a solar flare, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Pink, can we just take another selfie? Just another one. Okay. Lots of selfies. Lots of kids.
iPhones have really bad quality cameras.
They really do. I don't know if he was just using a, like, 1997 filter or something. I want to read some tweets real quick that are very much on topic. M at Still Earthbound writes, mixed bag episode. Love Clara, Danny, Capaldi, and Maeve. But please no more children. Series 7 kids. Courtney and these ones. All annoying. I look, it is ultimately a kid's show. They have to pay homage to it at points. I feel like they're making more of an effort to do so in the last 2 years than they did perhaps in seasons 5 and 6 and 1, 2, 3, and 4. Really making an effort to court their child audience, which is interesting. And, you know, a choice I don't necessarily disagree with as long as it doesn't unfocus the show.
Yeah, and like a lot of this season is honestly you've felt the presence of the network behind it, if you ask me. Like, just in choices, putting Danny in there, like romantic interest for romantic interest's sake, is to me feels like the network being like, do this.
Well, see, I still disagree with you on that point. I still disagree with you that it's a romantic interest for romantic interest's sake. I read an amazing article today on IO9. I don't know if you guys have seen it. About how this is the first ever season of Doctor Who that is based purely around a character-based arc versus a plot-based arc, where the entire season has been about Clara's evolution from someone who is not sure if she can be with someone who she can't manipulate on some level, in the same way that 11 was kind of more fun and she was able to access him a bit more,
mm-hmm.
to this person who has learned what it is like to be the Doctor. She has been put in his shoes. She has had to make the hard calls that he's made in the past. And it kind of crystallizes in this episode where, in sort of a stark parallel to Kill the Moon, where the Doctor just left and left the decision of whether or not to save the Earth in her hands. It's kind of a similar situation where a natural disaster is going to destroy the Earth. In this episode, she pushes him away. She tells him to leave and sacrifice himself. And it's not his choice to leave at all. She finally has figured out not only how to predict his movements, like at the top of the episode mm-hmm. where she's talking about, oh, this is the part where he's going to pretend he doesn't know, and then he's going to know. She's figured him out, and now she's the boss of him. She is the person with agency.
Yeah.
Which is very, very interesting. Every other season of the show has been very, very plot-based. We have a mystery that's kind of teased out over several episodes, and then it opens up in the finale. Mm-hmm. The mystery this season has been very much in the background.
And he's unaware of it.
Wholly unaware. And in many episodes, it just isn't there at all. And even some of the episodes that Missy appears in, actually, I would say many of them, it adds nothing to the plot other than mm-hmm. to remind us that she exists.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. If the season isn't about the Missy mystery, what does the finale hold in terms of this Clara character development, and where are we going to leave her at the end of this season? We have these rumors about her leaving the show. I don't know if the character, as she is right now, would leave.
I think...
Interesting.
I have no end to that sentence.
Okay. Well, I guess my initial thought is that the two will converge in a way that will deeply affect Clara. Because I really love that. And I, in fairness, I had not thought about it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. Because I'm still in that mode of plot-based fun that yeah. we've had for the last few years. But that's very true. And it's a very good way of looking at it. What if Missy is, like, slowly building up? We know that she's somehow tied to Clara.
She brought them together.
She takes ownership of Clara, my mm-hmm. Clara, my doctor. Whoever Missy is, whether it's something new, something old, something borrowed, something blue, I think when Missy and Clara meet up, that's going to either bring out something about Clara that nobody, including herself, is mm-hmm. aware of, or will... cause Clara to have to reevaluate everything about her life.
Yeah. What do you think, Yael?
I think that I'm so excited for this to be revealed.
Yeah.
I think I also didn't even notice that, like, because I was so focused on who is Missy and when are they going to explain things, that I didn't notice that the doctor isn't aware that there's this mystery going on. It is all about her. And that Clara is really kind of, she's finally figured out how to deal with him, as you were saying, mm-hmm. and it's scary and exciting, and this episode aside, I'm really excited and happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Doctor's aware that there's something up, because he's heard the Promised Land dropped a few times, but he's
questioned who put them together, but he's not, like, thinking about it the way he was when he was dying and when he
had the cracks in the wall.
Yeah. Not actively searching.
No. Mm-hmm. What I do think will happen is what I like about this character-based arc is the big thing that's going to happen when Missy and Clara meet in the next episode. And folks, I know that we're talking about next episode and big season-long stuff, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of this episode as soon as we can, but this is too much fun to talk about. The fact is, Missy has put them together so that Clara can go on this journey of reinvention, mm-hmm. so that she can become her most self-actualized self, or become the Clara that Missy needed her to be.
Yeah.
Put Clara and the Doctor together at that point in the Doctor's timeline so that she would be there for the regeneration into the 12th Doctor, so that she would be there to have to struggle with him and to learn from him and eventually become a little bit more desensitized mm-hmm. to her own humanity, versus we have Danny as this stark counterpoint, the point that he makes in this episode about how the small things are just as amazing and maybe even more amazing. A person is more amazing than all of the geothermal expulsions. I know I'm not saying the right thing.
Yeah.
in the entire universe. So I have to imagine when she finds out that all of this was a manipulation, potentially for something horrible, I think that it's going to make her rethink everything that she's learned, and it could potentially drive her mad.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I do think that not. It's definitely not 12 and not even 11's viewpoint, but the idea that a human is more interesting than anything else is totally something that, that other incarnations of the Doctor have preached, mm-hmm. which I think is an interesting little parallel. Like, they're still crazy about adventure and all that, but the idea that the human being is the most
fascinating. The human race. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he even says in this episode, he talks about, this is my planet. This is my home. I walk here. I breathe this air.
But he likes the planet and the people as a whole.
Yeah.
But, like, you hear, I don't have an example to drop, but, like, I feel like Tennant, especially, like, loved to talk about how an individual human could change everything because they are so amazing on their own.
Mm-hmm. I want to read some tweets really quickly. Lindsay Burns at Lindsay B writes, this episode felt like a Doctor School version of the Magic School Bus.
Oh, yeah.
They're not wrong. The Magic School Bus and the Magic Spontaneous Forest.
I really loved the Magic School Bus.
Me too. At Simple Origin, Spooky Scott writes, I can't help but notice that neither the Doctor, Clara, and Danny had no effect on the outcome of the story. I would say that's not necessarily true because they prevented the human race from destroying the trees that were going to save them. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a small saving grace, but it may account for some of the fatigue that viewers who prefer more active episodes may have felt in this episode. Kind of in the same way that, like, while Listen, I think, is a beautiful episode, its circular logic and lack of actual motion turned some people off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The fairies make me think of the Torchwood episode with the fairies. which, I mean, you're not wrong, but they're not fairies. They're right. Magic earth fireflies.
Those are fireflies.
Yeah.
They're like the little Legend of Zelda.
Hey!
Listen! They also reminded me of the nanogenes, the mm-hmm. nanobites, the nanogenes that, just this once everybody lives.
Yes, yeah. Back in the first season. And at JT Shadow 35, a little bit of a different opinion. He says this was probably the best episode of the season. So
tweet us why.
Apparently, yeah, you know, the fan reason. Base is a little divided.
Something that I found just an interesting little thing on the hey, listen yeah. Point. Mark at Mark Deventry said Mabe is Gaelic for listen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which,
a little tidbit.
For all those people who wanted there to be some sort of payoff for Listen in the finale, maybe that is a signal that it may be coming.
Hopefully.
Or, you know, honestly, just if you look at the function she served in this episode, she is the only person who can listen to these sprites, mm-hmm. and she's the only person that we should be listening to, and no one was listening
yeah.
when she said that she was hearing things and that there were all these messages. Let's talk about Mabe for a second.
Yeah.
You know, when the promo for this episode came out, I thought this was going to be like a Little Red Riding Hood kind of a story.
I mean, they did put her in a red hood.
Yeah.
And have wolves chasing her.
And have wolves chase her for like a minute and then no more wolves.
Can we talk about how she outran wolves?
Yeah. She's amazing in yeah. terms of outrunning wolves. I love the opening of this episode
mm-hmm.
Where she happens upon the TARDIS and she finds the Doctor and she lets him know, you know, we're in trouble. And I thought she was very charming. I think that ultimately, though, the show couldn't decide whether or not she was the main character of this episode, and I feel like it would have been a stronger choice to keep the whole thing largely from her perspective.
Mm.
Because we have these dangling threads of her missing sister, of her mother searching for her. Her mother, who apparently is the only other person in London.
Yeah.
Other than the fire crews and the kids.
Well, I think at some point the news...
I know, it said everyone stay indoors home. Because yeah. of the controlled fires. I get it.
I'm just saying.
But people don't listen to that sort of thing.
Exactly. And some people must have already been out, like... I can't imagine that everyone is at home in bed.
That's true. I know a bunch of people that would go out and climb those trees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Idiots. but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Zach. You were one of those idiots.
Yeah, probably.
One of those delightful idiots. But
hippies.
Damn hippies. But here's the thing. you know, we kind of have these threads, and we have her with the doctor, and then she's waving at her face, and she runs away. Now we have to go find her. Now we're listening to her,
and she's leaving a like trail of breadcrumbs with her stuff.
But it felt like we wasted a lot of time that we could have spent on either character development or better developing a threat. We could have kept these wolves and tigers and so on going instead of having them be a minor threat to get us, provide a little bit of tension for like 3 minutes in the middle of the episode where it felt like it was sagging. I don't know.
We had a lot of little pieces. It almost makes me think that if you were to like take this story and flesh it out into like a feature film, like take Doctor Who out of it, that may have like fit. It may have worked. Like, hey, that may have been the original.
If this was like a child's adventure.
Yeah, and they had spent double the amount of time going through all these motions, then it all might have, like, had more time to breathe and made more sense.
And talk about her sister and where she went
and why her sister going missing caused her to be able to listen to the hear and also what they were, maybe.
Yeah. There's just a lot of pieces that were like, this is really, really cool, but we're not going to pay it off.
Yeah. And folks, just because we have issues with the episode isn't to say that we don't like the show or that we aren't huge fans. It's that we see so many wonderful bits of potential in this episode, and it just never quite coalesced into what it needed to be. And I feel like it could have used just one extra script pass to like really just mix everything together.
I am usually not a fan of children in Doctor Who, but I will say that I really liked the I liked Maeve as the one that the Doctor listened to.
Yeah,
I love their interaction where he's like, "All right, I trust you. Tell me what's happening." And she, you know, inspired him to understand communication with the trees. So I liked that a lot. I also really liked the flashbacks of the kids in the school being really obnoxious, and that like this event, this outing, has really helped them develop as children. Ruby's "How do you find the X" thing was the greatest thing ever.
It's right there.
Yeah.
What are you, an idiot? It's right there.
It's at the top.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
She was really cute, and like she's clearly, they built her up as a smart ass, and she doesn't want to like, she's like just being a problematic child. But then like when she sees Maeve going through like what to them looks like a nervous panic attack, and she's like waving her arms at the firefly doodads. She's like, let her, give her her pill, like don't make her do this like in public. She actually cares, and that I thought was made that character really good, really three-dimensional.
I don't know why people are bagging on these kids. These actually, I think, were like the best kids we've ever had on the show.
Do we remember Courtney, was it?
Yeah.
Do we remember her?
We remember Courtney. Do we remember the little princess from The Rings of Akaten last season?
Who looked a lot like Maeve, actually.
Yeah, actually, maybe.
I prefer Ruby, Bradley, and Maeve to Courtney.
Yeah. I mean, if we wind up spinning off Clara and Mr. Pink and their class full of ruffians who go on adventures as like the new Sarah Jane adventures.
Right.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, considering the lack of weight that has been given to kid characters in the past, maybe this is a sign that they're leaning that way. And maybe that's why they're focusing on the school this season, and why there are all these rumors of Clara leaving the show, is by the end of the season, she opts to leave working with the doctor, but her thirst for adventure just still can't be quenched.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. No one's talked about it, so maybe I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah.
But definitely an interesting idea.
We do know that Can we talk about stuff in the future episode? I don't want to give spoilers.
Is it something that is a spoiler?
Just in terms of what's going to happen in the finale, like something that appears in the finale.
I think that's a
spoiler. I think that's a spoiler. I think we got to save it.
Okay, right? I'll save it.
Okay. All right. So real quick before we move on, we're going to talk about Clara and Danny and their relationship.
Aww.
Yeah, we are. And we're going to talk about Missy, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the finale, because I know that's what everyone wants to talk about. I want to really, really quickly talk about iTunes, folks. You know, I say it every week, and it's only because it's the truth. The best way that you can support our show and every show here at AfterBuzz TV is to go to iTunes and rate and review the shows that you listen to or that you watch on YouTube. It's quick. It's easy. It's free. It doesn't cost you a dime, and it helps us all out here. You know, we here at AfterBuzz TV, if you are new to the channel, we put out over 80 hours of free after-show content a week. It's the widest array of after-show content available on any platform anywhere in the world. It's a massive undertaking. We do a lot of work to make that happen for you and to get those podcasts to you every day on time as you like it. So when you go to iTunes and you rate and review the show, that's how we're able to attract sponsors to our network. They keep our lights on and our doors open. It's how we're able to get wonderful guests that make our shows so wonderful. So when you rate and review the shows that you listen to or that you watch on YouTube, you raise the collective water level of every single show here on the channel, and you know, you get a wonderful shout out here on the show, which I am trying to pull up. Shout outs.
While you pull that up, I want to give a shout out to someone on Twitter.
Oh yeah, read some tweets.
Just sent to Daniel Riley.
RileyDan26.
Yeah, who sent us his crazy strange theory about Missy being the real Clara.
This puts like my wild theories to shame. Yeah. This is well it, done.
I saw it and I was like, man, this is too long for me to read while I'm trying to have a conversation.
Yeah.
The basic sum up is that, and like, I had to scan it. Like, I couldn't read it all. So, like, I'm going to just expound upon the basic idea.
Okay.
Because they keep calling her Miss, is what he brings
yes,
up here.
I heard that.
Like, it's just a consistent thing throughout the season.
Because Clara says that she didn't send her to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm wondering if it was a different Miss that sent her. That sent Maeve to the TARDIS in the beginning.
Oh.
Because she said, Miss sent me. She didn't say Clara, she didn't say Miss Oswald, she said Miss sent me.
Well, that, but not even about this episode, you're talking about, the kids just call her Miss, what if Clara is Missy in a different form.
I agree that that's very possible, yes. I just want to say that I'm pretty sure in schools in London they just refer to them as...
I think you're right.
Okay, I don't think that's like a strange thing. Yeah.
But it's enough to latch on to create wild theories.
Yes.
So to build from that is just like, what if... Clara, because Clara stepped into the time stream of the Doctor.
Which, can we mention, has never been mentioned once this season.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of plot holes with that concept, and like I had some frustrations with it.
Who didn't?
As a whole. But we're accepting that it's part of the lore. What if this version of Clara that we've been running around with is just one of the... time stream Claras that like step through the the thing.
Yeah, and we can talk about after the spoiler wall that there may have been something in the teaser for next week that maybe points to that or is probably a red herring.
Mm. Yeah, I would put it on red herring. But,
yeah,
but with that, ignoring that though, what if Missy? I think this is what this theory is getting to. If I had time to read it all. What if Missy is either the real Clara or one of the time stream duplicates?
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, I mean, we don't know for sure that this Clara is the real Clara, because the real Clara is the one who couldn't figure out the Wi-Fi and eventually stepped into the time stream.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that there is a real Clara.
However, here's what I will say to that.
Yeah.
The whole premise of that episode is that the Doctor dies on Trenzalore. The Doctor didn't die on Trenzalore. He regenerated and escaped, which means that future never happened, which potentially, like, redacts that entire episode.
My head hurts.
I was about to say the same thing.
Exactly. However, it may play into Missy's overall plan, because she put Clara and the Doctor together potentially to prevent that death from happening. Which, interesting.
What?
It opens up a whole bag of paradox worms.
If we went over to Trenzalore, now, what's there?
Probably just a happy mining community. Orange Julius. Okay, I got some shout-outs for people who reviewed us on iTunes. Booyah from Caroline M. Awesome podcast. Love the callback to the voice of choice. Been here from the beginning since Roth and Jenna, but love the new host and glad that Leaves has stayed the whole time. This podcast is one of the highlights of my week. Love this podcast. 5 stars from Neo Aoshi. Great hosts and topics are what you get when you listen to this after show. Definitely recommend. I always can't wait until the next episode so I can hear their thoughts. Best Doctor Who talk show ever. 5 stars from Cody Kit 727. Finally, I found a talk show that breaks down the episode bit by bit. I've started watching Doctor Who in the 2005 series, and I'm now a Whovian. I love how you guys took your time and really analyzed the show and give your thoughts on each episode that airs, what you liked about it, and dislikes. I also love hearing of your theories to some of the characters, cough, cough, Missy, and figuring out who they are and why it's important. Thanks for your time you devote to putting this on for us fans. It means a lot. Geeks rule! Great Potamajigger from B9 PhD. Oh, Bill Nye is a listener to the show. 5 stars. Started listening to AfterBuzz after Matt mentioned that he was on the panel for a show for Under the Dome. It's in the cards. Oh, man, that's a great references to that show in this review. Quickly fell in love with the whole network. Doctor Who panel remains my favorite. Review took me less than 30 seconds to write. Hell yeah.
See, there you go.
There you go. Less than 30 seconds. 5 stars. This is my favorite Doctor Who podcast from WLDWMNAK, Wild Woman AK. You guys and gals always deliver. Been a listener since day one. Have always enjoyed. I love this podcast. 5 stars. Katie Edwards. I look forward to this podcast every week. When I watch the new episode with my cousin, I always talk about the predictions I've heard on the panel. This is what gets me through my geometry class in the morning. Thank you. You should be paying attention in geometry. I'm not going to say that you shouldn't be listening to this episode.
It's not at the top.
No, I support you. Right. Geometry is a necessary.
Yell supports you. Fantastic. 5 stars from Cicada 17. Question, why is this podcast better than all the rest? Conjecture, because it is full of Doctor Who loving Whovians like me. Love that. Love all around. 5 stars from Lolom123. Absolutely love Doctor Who. I love AfterBuzz TV. Excellent commentary from Kaharabu. 5 stars. Other Doctor Who podcast pale in comparison to AfterBuzz. The hosts are hilarious, energetic, knowledgeable, and intelligent. Listening to this show is like having conversations with friends about the show. Aww. Thank you all so much for your reviews, and please keep them coming. Alright, so Clara, Danny. He takes the news kind of well that she's been on the TARDIS all whole bunch, doesn't he?
I mean, he basically knew last week.
Yeah, he's known.
Okay.
But he's wanted her to come clean.
I assumed that he knew. I assumed that they'd even talked about it until he picks up the marking books and seems stunned.
He suspected, especially after the phone call with him and then her lies. Like, she is not the best at lying.
She's kind of manipulative because she's lying to him and she's lying to the doctor.
Right. But, and I mean, the doctor knows. They all know.
That's what happens in an affair.
Yeah.
And I'll keep harping on this. I do it every week for the past, like, 3 weeks. But it's apt.
Mm-hmm.
Clara has a boyfriend, isn't telling her about gallivanting off with another man. I don't care that it's not sexual. I still maintain that this is having an affair. It's still cheating.
Danny didn't consider it cheating. But here's the thing, right? He says a few episodes ago, you can really tell what a person thinks of you by their lies or by what they will and won't tell mm-hmm. you. I'm kind of paraphrasing.
Yeah.
So he has this girlfriend whom he ostensibly loves and mm-hmm. who ostensibly loves him, who has been lying to him for weeks, and yet the fact that he's like super cool with it, like, flies in the face of what he said earlier.
I think it goes to play devil's advocate. I think mm-hmm. it goes to what he said is that she doesn't want to hurt him, and she knows that it hurts him that she does this, and so she lies. And that's
it hurts
she
him
cares.
That she's an addict.
Yeah, yeah. It hurts everyone.
It's true. It's what addiction does to people.
Yeah.
I also want to say, the same way that she says, you know, he's wholly focused on the kids. He's a much better teacher than she is, and she's like, that's actually really, really attractive. I'm like, he's like fucking. He's oh man, I swore you're not supposed to. he's like full on alpha male here. And I can see why she likes him and why even with a whole universe out there, she keeps coming back to home base. He's very handsome.
It's
and very
really,
smart.
It's a really interesting situation to see when she's like, let's go see this up close.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm going to take care of these kids. Like, they need to go see their parents, and this is what I want to do. And I've seen things.
Yeah.
I've seen things.
Clara, lest you forget, I was a soldier. I don't think I've told you this before, but I was a soldier.
You
and it changed every... I was
a
soldier, and it changed everything.
It does in a way. I mean, okay, they remind us of it a lot, but...
So you know he's a soldier.
Yeah. Did you know he's a soldier? I didn't know he's a soldier.
Yeah, that's news to me.
Wow. The squaddy? What? What did that mean? Oh, it's because he was in a soldier, and he was in a squad. Continue.
So everybody's a team.
Yeah.
No, but, like, it... Because when I first hear it, and like I'm struggling, just because I'm a fan of this show,
right.
With the fact that like he's not interested in like seeing this cosmic like craziness from space.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that. That sounds really cool. Because this, like, as fans of the show, we want to see that stuff. That stuff is cool. Adventures are cool. To him, adventures lead to.
Death.
War and death and terribleness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. And it really does sort of flesh out his character a little bit. So it's one of the few things that I think this episode really drove home in a good way about the character here.
And it feels so new.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of someone else who has been like this, who's been like, what? You want to go see crazy cosmic things that no one will ever see? You want to see it up close? That sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, there really haven't been many naysayers in recent Who history. And I want to talk about an interesting dichotomy here between Clara, Danny, and the Doctor. Because in the same way that the Doctor needs someone like Clara whose passion and fresh eyes on the universe can reawaken his feelings towards it and help him see it in a whole new way. Here we have Clara, who has become this sort of doctor in her own right, in terms of her mentality, in terms of her emotions, in terms of her morality, having this anchor of a man who says, no, you've given me the option to see the universe, and I'm telling you that the beautiful, amazing, really spectacular things are right here. And I think that that's ultimately something that she needs. She needs somebody who can help her see the real world with fresh eyes, the real world that had bored and frustrated her, and she supplanted with the whole universe.
Yeah.
There's something really cool going on there. Really quickly before we talk about Missy and really just go into the finale, Maeve's sister coming back at the end, got a couple tweets, people weren't crazy about it. I missed it the first time that I watched the episode. I missed that she actually asked her to come back. And I thought at the end, I'm like, what, the Fireflies gave her the sister back?
But where was this, like, this
where
is part of
go?
My frustration with this episode is that, like, it to me, the way that they built it up, like, I thought her sister was dead.
Yeah, like taken by the Fireflies.
Like, yeah, like, she was gone. But, like, that's insane because they didn't set it up at all that was the thing. I thought her sister had just died. The sister was just...
Survivor's guilt or something.
Yeah, survivor's guilt, or she's just, like, just really depressed about it because she lost her sister. She's very young, and she can't really quite understand it all. And that made the character... feel very real. It made this like a real situation, but then the sister just appears at the end
and just a big smile on her face like, you got me. Like, oh brother. And I was just like, ah, she's been in the driveway the whole time. You idiots. All right,
maybe if they would have trimmed the hedges.
If they just trimmed the hedges for once, they would have found the missing daughter.
Yeah.
Again, there's just like, that could have been a really cool piece, but it felt like they lost like a few pages that really explained it.
Wasn't quite earned.
You know, to go back to the cooking thing, it's like you have a bunch of really good ingredients. You can have the best eggs, the best flour, the best baking powder and chocolate powder.
Some
all
of
this
that
stuff.
Wagyu beef. I don't know why you do that with chocolate.
Amazing butter and just put it all in the bowl. But you gotta mix it up properly. You can't just, like, take the bowl of ingredients and, like, you can still, like, the egg and the yolk aren't...
And you
the
just
yolk
put it right in the oven.
You just stick it in the oven.
It doesn't turn into a souffle, girl. All right. I'm gonna call this... Let's go into predictions, because we're gonna talk Missy stuff.
All right.
We got a lot to talk about. Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Before we talk about Missy. Can I just talk about the thing I couldn't talk about before?
Yes, mention it. Go.
You're talking about like a potential Danny Clara like spin-off thing. They're bringing Unit back.
Yeah, they are.
Is what they teased. We saw Kate Stewart.
Well, we also saw Kate Stewart real quick.
Yeah,
and Osgood.
Yeah, Osgood's
that's exciting. But like, what if Danny and Clara stay on Earth and they're somehow involved with Unit?
Oh, I think Danny would. As soon as Unit arrives, Danny's gonna be like, "I'm out of here. I'm done being a soldier. I don't want to be part of this."
Yeah,
but what if that's like the reason they keep him there? It's like, we need somebody who doesn't like war on staff.
I keep trying to get out, and they keep tracking me back in.
That'd be so good.
Yeah. Like, that would be an interesting dynamic, because he can legitimately help.
Mm-hmm.
But is he going to say no? Like, you're the one person that can help, but you're not going to?
Yeah,
he's going to say no.
Why gotta be a dick, Danny?
Well, because he doesn't want to kill people ever again. He's worked really hard to get past it.
I'm out.
Yeah. So next week, the finale, it appears.
It's the beginning of the finale.
The beginning of the finale, of a two-part finale.
Yeah.
It appears that the Cybermen have returned and that perhaps they are somehow connected to Missy.
I think there's not a perhaps. I think they're connected to Missy.
Pretty obvious because we've had all these, human robot combos all season long kind of pointing that way. Let's talk about Missy's reaction to the solar flare. In this episode, where it seemed kind of like odd and ambiguous to me, of just sort of like, oh, that's surprising.
She was really bored.
She was like kind of like bummed out, but bummed out why? Bummed out that.
Because it was a confusing episode.
Bummed out that, well, as she's watching it on her iPad too. bummed out that the world survived. Bummed out that, that the doctor didn't leave Clara. Bummed out why?
Bummed out that he figured it out.
I don't know, but
it seemed like she was upset that he figured out the plan.
Maybe he has to die to get to her.
Maybe.
Because she's in heaven.
I don't know.
In promised land.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to see her promised land? I'm sorry.
Matt.
I couldn't help myself. It's always one. Every episode, I can't help myself but one.
You couldn't help yourself twice. You said the F-bomb.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
That was not a sexual connotation. Okay, so what do we think is going on here? I mean, obviously, we've got Cybermen, I think, on Earth, taking over Earth, the new Cybermen. We see Missy kind of waking up from something.
We see Clara saying things that don't make sense.
That don't make sense.
Yeah, Clara Oswald has never existed.
Yeah, she says that to a Cyberman, though. And it feels like the middle of a scene.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like she really means that. But at the same time, that would fuel a lot of cool dramatic stuff.
Yeah.
She says, "You will never step inside your TARDIS again."
Well, that feels like a fake Clara, like a message Clara sent from Missy for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know. Because it was like flames and darkness. It felt like a dream or of some kind.
Yeah. I think a few episodes ago there were theories of all these parallels and parallel universes and what's between them and the void, and I hope that this parallel plane thing is really what's happening, because after I heard that theory, I don't remember which one of you said it, I was like, oh, that would be so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's building, Matt, what you said a few weeks ago, the idea that this is sort of like the little space between universes.
Yeah.
Like,
the void.
The void, yeah. I love that, because it would build this up in a way that could potentially lead us into a Series 9 with Gallifrey.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I thought Series 8 was going to be.
Dude, it's about the next 50 years is about finding Gallifrey.
Yeah. but like, they didn't even touch on it this season. That was what surprised me, because they left it so heavy at the end of 11 and then just didn't talk about it. So that leads me to believe that Missy and the Nether Sphere are somehow tied to Gallifrey. Whether that means Gallifrey is coming next year or in five series from now, I don't know. But I feel like it has to be building towards that in some discernible way.
Do you think the chalkboards covered in math and Gallifreyan are going to be explained or revealed or used in the next two episodes? Or you think we're not going to get this till next season?
That's a good question.
Because it wasn't in the promo at all.
What's the question?
The blackboards that the doctor's been writing all over.
It's possible. I think also, I'd be cool with even just a closing shot of the finale is a sweep across the chalkboard and just the word Gallifrey or like something like that.
Yeah, like just something that like it's not forgotten. They didn't like build all this stuff and then they're just gonna ignore it for a long time. Like if we know at least that the doctor's been working on this problem in the background, like we have our suspicions, but he hasn't discussed it with anybody.
So exactly. It's like the blanket in Listen.
Yes. No, we are going to wind up on a Cyberman planet that just has a blanket over on one side and just like a bunch of Gallifrey and stuff on the other side. And every little plot hole that we want filled will be filled on this planet.
I feel like it's going to be similar to one of the first times we saw, nope, not the first, but the Cyberman coming through with the,
with the ghosts in the season 2 finale.
Yeah.
I do think that the promised land thing is not going to be fully satisfied in this one. I'm sort of thinking about how series 5 and 6, like Moffat's first two seasons as showrunner, like when you watch season five, it felt complete. And then when you watch season 6, you're like, oh, that was only half the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that whatever the chalkboard in Gallifrey is going to feel so integral once we see wherever we go from here.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, folks, unfortunately, we are out of time. We will be back next week to talk about the first half of the finale, episode 11. I just want to give a quick shout-out to @TaylorSmithMU on Twitter, who just left a fresh iTunes review. Thank you so much. Yael Teagle, where can the people find you?
The people can find me online at yael.tv, and there they will find information about all the after shows I do here, including Law & Order Special Victims Unit and Constantine and Grimm, of course.
Grimm!
Also on Twitter at Yael Teagle, YaeLTYGIEL.
Okay, and Zach Wilson.
You guys can catch me on Twitter at @ThatZachWilson. Also here at AfterBuzz, got Doctor Who Classics this week. We're doing The Tomb of the Cybermen.
Ooh.
The first available Patrick Troughton story.
Sweet.
That we get our hands on. There's an entire season. His first entire season is missing.
Hmm.
But yeah, tune in for that and lots of other panels, including Grimm, Resurrection, Z Nation, lots of stuff.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can find all my videos for SourceFed, SourceFed Nerd, and on my personal channel on YouTube, youtube.com/MatthewDLieberman. Got Sleepy Hollow, Sons of Anarchy, and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. over here on AfterBuzz. I want to thank you all so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.